We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat win! Heat win! Man, don't let that final score that Brad just throwed up there fool you. This was a dominating win. They dominated this game after the first quarter. Front to back. In the fourth quarter, yeah, there was some garbage time threes put up by some scrubs off the bench, but this was one of the most complete games we've seen the Miami Heat play in a long time. They went into Portland, you know, late game on the road, and I know Portland was on a back-to-back, but they showed up and showed out. Like, I'm really, really proud of the effort. The offense started actually looking like a real offense, even without Vic. Defensively, they were flying around like they haven't done in a few games, where we've been talking about the fact that they just look lethargic, and their rotations weren't sharp. Tonight, the rotations were sharp. The guys that we've been complaining about, like, man, I want to get into it about Tyler and Kendrick Nunn. I thought both had amazing games tonight. Like, offensively and defensively, they went up against some of the one of the best backcourts in the league and completely held their own. Duncan continues to play well off the dribble, doing things. Jimmy and Bam, I mean, what else can you say? Like, we were very worried about the fact that, I mean, they were killing us on the boards, and they kind of just they erased that whole issue, and they were causing turnovers, getting in the passing lanes. Jimmy had four steals. I just complete effort. From the end of the first quarter through the end of the game. I thought this was one of their most complete wins of the season. So go ahead, Brass, bring me out. Let's introduce our cast of characters tonight. We don't have Tiff tonight. Tiff has a light week tonight. We're giving her a little bit of a break. So we have Siobhan, Gianni, Joey, and the intrepid producer, Brass. So let's find out what everybody is drinking tonight. All right. So before we get to the drinking, I do want to say we are going to make a concerted effort to answer questions tonight. A lot of people have been hitting us up and saying we do not answer questions. Because we usually get too drunk, and by the 30-minute mark, I forget. And we just start talking shit, and that's when the show normally goes off the rails. So if anybody has any questions, whether it be about Siobhan's breakdowns, Joey's comedy career, G's weird lighting in his room, how Brass makes his drinks, whatever your question is, save them for around the 34, 35 minute mark. We are going to answer questions. I promise you. I am being held to this. My pay is being withheld if I do not answer questions tonight. So,
correct.
Yes, Jihadi concurs. Siobhan, what are you drinking tonight?
Goodwin. So we're going to give them back, you know, both fists, some Jack Daniel's rye, and Mondavi Sauvignon.
I love it. I love it. I'm on Tito's and Sprite tonight because last time I drank dark liquor, they lost. I think it's kind of racist, but hey, listen, what isn't racist but feels racist is when the Heat lose when I drink dark liquor. So, Gianni, what are you drinking tonight?
Finishing that bottle of Pisco that I bought that I've brought on Hangover Time a couple of times. So we're having it straight tonight. Good win. I'm happy. Listen, I like being on Hangover Time, so we're celebrating.
There we go. Brass, what fancy drink you have for this win tonight?
I mean, it's one of my favorites. I made it on here before. I made a Negroni. This is always.
You did what?
I made a Negroni. Come on.
A what?
Are you Solani?
A Negroni. Man, I am not going to take shit on this drink. I love this drink.
You made a Negro? A what?
See, you're making it weird, not me.
I feel like that's the race because that's an awful tasting cocktail. And I feel like it should.
A Negroni?
It's off. It tastes.
Talk your shit, Brass. Oh shit.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Bullshit.
Like, it's been 6 minutes.
I am not. I will not stay. I did not stay up late to get shit from a dude who just drinks Pisco like straight. Like, fuck off, man. I'm not. This is a Heat win. I'm in a good mood tonight.
You're lucky Tiff isn't here. If you drink a Negroni around Tiff.
Explain your Negro tenderoni.
It's really simple. It's equal parts gin, sweet vermouth, and Campari. And it's kind of bitter. It's delicious.
Kind of. It's a
wow.
Sick your shit. I would rather Tiff be here and her slander me for the name of my drink than have Gianni slander the drink.
Because Gianni's actually slandering the drink itself.
Yeah.
Tiffany would just tell you your drink sounds racist.
I'm stand for that shit.
Called a Negroni, so I'm a little worried. But Joey, what are you drinking tonight?
I might have the worst drink out of everybody. I have a cacti, which is Travis Scott's personal agave spike seltzer. It's like the supreme of hard seltzers. I'm gonna be in sicko mode for sure. No, I mean in spirit of Solana. I thought it was different.
What are your thoughts on this, Johnny?
My thoughts on what? Oh, the seltzer.
You're doing great.
No.
I love. Oh, okay,
I thought it was a comment we were all laughing at.
No, we're laughing at you, Gianni.
Nice emphasis on equal parts, Brass.
Yeah, that is good.
That was funny. listen, everybody's...
That is an awful drink, by the way, Joey.
Oh, it's not good.
That's pretty bad.
You're not Solana, so we're not going to harp on it, but holy shit. The Travis Scott seltzer? Like, come on, man.
I'm in sicko mode. I'm in sicko mode.
That shit comes with skinny jeans and a fucking... sense of entitlement.
white boy summer.
Yeah, for real. Oh. That is a white boy summer drink. Chet Hanks would be proud. But yeah, man, like let's get to this game. Like, I just felt like this shit was like light work for the Heat, which we have not felt, and I've been begging for a light work game where they just felt like they had full control of the shit from beginning to end, Siobhan. Like, yeah, that first quarter was rough. But I also didn't even feel – I wasn't shook.
So the first quarter was rough. I wasn't shook, but it was rough. Like, right, we got, like, what, 4 straight steals and converted 3 points off of that. We were being out-rebounded, like, 8-1 or something wild. But very soon after that, it seemed like Portland thought that they started to settle into their offense a little bit. And then you know, we kind of did too. I think you're right. It never felt in doubt at all. This was probably one of the lightest feeling wins of the season. everyone, for the most part, did what they were asked and expected to do. It's good to see coming off of the little bit of a downer that's Vic's injury. But there was a lot to be encouraged by from, you know, maybe 5 minutes on to finish. So it was a good game. It was a super solid game.
I agree. I just thought it was just like you said, everyone played their role. Everyone did what they were supposed to do. It felt like a good team going through the motions and getting a professional win against a team that, I mean, Portland is better than them.
Yes.
Right. And I know Portland was on the back of the on a back to back, but they were playing on the road in Portland in a very fucking odd time. I do want to thank everybody who's showing up to watch the show tonight, because this is fucking 12:30 on a Sunday night. I appreciate the fuck out of y'all. By the way, it is my birthday officially now.
Happy birthday.
So I'm working on my birthday. I turned 40, so. Brass, hit me with a drip drop for turning 40 today.
All right, one time we're gonna hit him with a drip drop. Happy birthday!
I love the mannerisms that Fuck Brass that. Employs.
I love Boos.
But G, I don't. I think the final score doesn't even tell you what kind of a beatdown this was. I felt like they dominated this game, and I thought they did so many interesting things against Dame, things that burned them against other teams when they try to like focus on the heavy hitter on another team, but they didn't recover. I felt like all that effort and that energy was there tonight that has not been there on other nights where, yeah, they're keying in on a guy and they're trapping a guy, but then when that guy passes out of the double team, now we're scrambling and looking for. I'm so bad at this.
Put Paul Pierce up there.
No dancing girls.
Monica coming through.
Monica. But yeah, gee, I thought they really did a good job of like they pressured Dame, they pressured CJ, and then they recovered well. Like I thought. Tonight, they executed their defensive game plan like they haven't been doing lately.
I think fans are not going to like hearing this, but that's why you have the game against Memphis where you're trapping the Ted Cruz lookalike, because you need to drill in your defensive principles. And maybe that's not the correct thing to do on like any certain matchup, but you know in the playoffs when the games count and when you're really, especially if you don't know Vic's future, like you want to make sure that you have a game plan against like these really dominant guards, Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Drew Holiday, who's like lighting up the world, right? So, you know, you do this, you really establish your defensive principles and you give yourself a chance, right? So one day it looks awful because, you know, you were slow or whatever. And today it looked great because, you know, you kind of need those lumps to work on it. And that's, I think, I understand that the Heat are chasing wins and they need to, right? Like they need to get out of the bottom. They need to like solidify their spot in fourth and all that stuff. But the regular season is for tinkering. It's for kind of getting ready for the playoffs. It's trying to win games and play your best. But it's also like to make sure that when we're playing the most important games of our season, we have these principles drilled into us that we're executing to a T. Because Ariza just got here. Belly just got here, who did play. We can talk about that later. Like Precious is a rookie. Like a lot of these, and last year they weren't doing this trap defense. This is a new thing for a lot of these guys. So I think that the lumps that we take, like the Memphis games, are worth it because you see, like tonight, how it could look at when they're firing at all cylinders.
Joey,
yes,
did you watch the game?
I watched most of the game. A majority, but I will say this about this game. I will say that this game had all the makings to be just a blowout with the Heat losing, you know, with just the bummer that is the uncertainty of Vic. So I could have totally seen us losing this game and us having a totally different conversation. So it's awesome that we actually, you know, did what we had to do and win.
Yeah, because this was set up for like just this letdown. Exactly. The Heat fan base is kind of a little bit dejected. We'll talk about Vic in a little bit. I'm just uncomfortable. Yeah, they were favored, and I guess Vegas knew something we didn't. Because you're favored on the road, I guess the back-to-back had a lot to do with it. And honestly, I think we're down on the Heat, but they're not a bad team even without Vic. Their defense is rock solid. They held the Blazers underneath 100. They've held, I think what they were saying, they've held the most teams underneath 100. Mm-hmm. I think also has a lot to do with the deliberate-ass pace. I mean, they can barely run a fast break because, like, they think about it so fucking much. Like, Siobhan, they get a steal, they get on the break, and they run into, like, some kind of set instead of just attack the paint, let's go, it's 3-on-1. Yeah. And they're looking for, like, dribble handoffs and shit.
Yeah. No, you're right. They get, like, super robotic sometimes with like, 3-on-1 breaks. to your point about, you know, being down on the team – it's like, oh, that's rude. Well, I don't know what Alphonse, I don't know what Ains, I don't know who that's rude to.
It's rude to Ennis Kanter if you see me run.
I personally haven't been down on this team. Shit, y'all were upset with me for being happy they beat the Lakers the other day. You're absolutely right that some of the learning curve, I guess, with the season structured the way it has, with the roster constructed the way it has, is that you do take, you know, some L's in games where you shouldn't, and maybe those are for purposes of tinkering and trying to figure out, you know, what it is you have and what works well together. But yeah, like you said, they have been, you know, rock solid. Without Vic, the defense is finding continuity. Guys are doing other things. Duncan is still shooting well. Kendrick, Tyler, they're so much more poised. They're so under so much more control. They're utilizing like their actual skill sets and body control. Their retreat dribble has been like on point tonight. They weren't rushing and forcing stuff. They just looked
defensively. They were on point.
Yep, defensively they were on point. So I really don't have, you know, too much negative to say about this game. I want to see it carry over. I do. You know, that was them on the second night of a back-to-back. Okay, you know, what do we look like with the rest of this week that comes up? I think that will say a lot, but they look good.
I tell you, we need more games where we have two nights off before. Because yeah. I don't
but
know.
But the last game we had two nights off.
Yeah, that's true. But tonight they played like last two nights I got to bed at like 10 o'clock. It was fucking glorious, man. I am like,
yeah, I was gonna say, like, you mean personally? Energized. Yeah, I'm. Listen,
I am re-energized.
Heat beat needs two nights off between games. Yeah, we are. So my eye test was right. We are fucking terrible on the break. Like they look for dribble handoffs on a 3-on-1. Like, dude, just go score.
For the podcast audience, the Heat have the 9th worst transition offense. That's 1.11 points per possession.
Oh, thank you for that, because I forget that people listen to this, which is always weird.
It's because we don't offensive rebound. We don't offensive rebound, so we don't start the break. We get steals and stuff, but then, yeah, that makes people have to, like, catch up and then, like, figure
no, but
out.
We just don't
execute it well.
They don't force turnovers either. Like, tonight was a rare night. Like, for the most part, they just don't force turnovers.
But even when they do, like, they literally look for dribble handoffs at the three-point line on a 3-on-1 break. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, Bam always slows up, and I never understand that. You're the most athletic person on the court. Like, I want to go back to a positive. Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn tonight. I thought there were at least three possessions where Kendrick Nunn saw like a Duncan Robinson or a slower player on a Damian Lillard or a CJ McCollum, ran and trapped, let the other guy recover, and just completely disrupted what the Blazers were trying to do. And it was like it's things, and Tyler did a lot of that stuff tonight too. They were doing things tonight I haven't seen them do all season. Is it just like Vic is trying to take our job? He's not here. Let's actually, you know, we're not safe anymore because there's a dude out here coming to take our minutes. Or is it just execution? What did you see?
I think a little bit of both. I think like the two nights rest, you know, versus the Blazers, you know, no nights rest. That means something. Kendrick hasn't played in forever too, so like his body's a little fresher. than everyone's. I think Tyler has been like really positionally like good this year on defense. I think he's like sucks as an on-ball defender. And obviously we've talked about like his limitations, but I think like in terms of kind of rotations and help, I think Tyler's been like really, really like solid for them, you know, as good as he can be. I thought Kendrick, you know, he's shown flashes of that. That little stretch when he played really, really well earlier in the season, we saw a little bit of this. So we know he has this in him. He's just inconsistent. And I think that that's just like, you know, that's kind of a lot. I mean, he's a young player. He's a young player who's, you know, I know that he's like older technically, but you know, it's his second year in the league. And these are going to be some inconsistencies that he's going to have going forward. And, you know, as he kind of irons it out, it's going to look better. So if he can maintain a version of this in the playoffs, that's like tremendous for them. That's a huge win.
I'm dying at some of these comments. Cantor is horny for authoritarianism. Like, that is an amazing comment. I'm sorry. I'm like, I was trying to listen to your analysis, Gene, but like,
Jesus.
District Inferno is killing me. I know. Is it District Inferno? Yeah, that's what it is. You know, one guy I want to talk about, and like, me and Brash were talking about doing an unsung hero type segment where we just kind of talk about a guy whose stats did not jump off the page. And anybody can jump in that feels like it. Trevor Ariza is tasked at 6'8", 6'9", just came out of retirement, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was playing spades in somebody's basement not more than 6 weeks ago, right? We gave up a pack of gum and a racist for him.
And a Lucy.
And two loose cigarettes. One was broken by the filter.
It's a great deal.
It really is. Listen, it's hard to get a Lucy nowadays. Like, you can't just, you know,
even half of one. Even half of one.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you can't even get, you know, motherfuckers don't give you shorts nowadays. But anyway, I brought it back to Pompano.
My God.
Trevor Reese is out here guarding Dame Lillard effectively. Yep. Like, that's not, it's not just that he's out here as just, okay, put him on Dame, let Dame go crazy. Trevor Reese is out here guarding Dame Lillard effectively for most of the game. Like, you picked him up for nothing. I thought Trevor Reese had an amazing game tonight. It doesn't show in the box score, you know, 6 points, three assists, two rebounds. But damn, like, he was
– plus five.
Yeah, plus five. But he was moving well with Dame. I mean, I think Trevor – you know, Siobhan, he's been a huge pickup.
Yeah, no, he has. And it's something about like 3-and-D guys. There, that is a certain type of the skill set, yes, but the appetite to play defense, right? Yeah, he kind of just came off of retirement, but I try to look at it as if, you know, he just came off of a year's rest, you know, a year's worth of rest. And for that type of game, though, it does take a little bit. You have to lather up. You have to get warm. You have to get loose. You have to figure out what it is that, you know, this new scheme is asking of you. And then you're able to let kind of your instinctual elements take over. And we're seeing that, you know, he's been in the gaps. He's been, like, the game plan was to start him on Dame. That's not something that they, like, stumbled upon midway
through. It's not on a switch.
Nope. It's what? No. Lock him up. Like, yeah, that's your assignment. And they were able to put Jimmy on CJ. That's so huge that Jimmy doesn't have to worry about being the lead, you know, the lead defender on the wing. I still would like to get more possessions of Bam off of the guard up top. I think we switch too much sometimes.
Fixed it, though. Did you guys notice that?
They
fixed it where they, I mean, not totally with the switch. Bam was still out there at the three-point line, a lot of possessions. But they were, like, they fought for that. You know, they fought Kanter. They fought Nurkic. They got them off of those offensive rebounds after that first quarter.
Yeah.
Where, gee, we watched, how many games have we watched where there's been no adjustments when we're getting killed on the boards?
None.
Yeah.
And today was a game that I kind of thought that they would get, like, crushed. Kanter had the 30-rebound game yesterday. and you know Nurk is looking good, right? And it's it just seemed like they were gonna switch Bam onto Lillard a lot, and they were just gonna get killed on the other side of those switches, and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is also like they forced a million turnovers, so they didn't really give the Blazers a chance to miss shots. Mm-hmm. So like I think part of that played into it, but they like. I think especially with a shooter like Lillard, you want to send the trap more so than the switch. And I think that they've been burned by that in the past. Trae Young is a guy that has done it to them a lot. Like they switch Bam out to him. And I think, I mean, they like the matchup. I mean, if these guys are going to pull up for 30 footers and you're just like, fine, fuck it, take it. But I think they've been burned enough by them that they're just like, let's just get the ball out of these dudes' hands. And that's kind of like what you're saying. Like they made the adjustments that they had to, and they're like, listen, we're not going to get Dame. We know you can do it. Let's make these other dudes do it.
You know, I want to go back to Ariza real quick, because one thing that I think is cool about Ariza is there's a lot of similarities between he and Iguodala last season, because they both had an extended absence from the league. I mean, they, you know, they didn't play for, I mean, how long has Ariza been out?
A year.
I mean,
like it's a been solid a year.
Yeah. So Ariza even more so than Iguodala, I believe. When he came to the Heat. But honestly, what Ariza has given you, what has given the Heat since he came back, since we traded for him, is really better than what Iguodala did at the same time last year.
Yep. And he's Jay Crowder-ish.
I think he's given you more than Jay. Personally.
Right. Not offensively. Jay Crowder was, I mean, he gave you a stretch for like none other, you know what I mean?
But defensively, on the team for 2 months.
Yeah, but like defensively, but again, he's giving you a shit ton.
But again, Jay was playing. You know, I'm making the comment. Yeah. Like you know, Iguodala wasn't playing. So as Siobhan said, it takes a little bit for a player to sort of get back into game shape. And I think considering he had an entire year off, he's been doing great. And I really think he's gonna be getting even better. He fits in really, really well. What was his? Was there talk of him coming back? It's just kind of funny when a player is traded and all of a sudden they start playing as soon as a trade happens, even though they had an
experience. No, I think Trevor just basically said he wasn't playing for the Thunder. Like they were a rebuilding team. He's not going to. He's got a limited number of miles left on his legs, and he's not playing for a rebuilding team. So. I don't think it was ever.
They wanted him to either. They want to lose games. Not
that's
win.
True. That's
what
true.
He allows you to do, though, in his athleticism and just being able to guard the way he does, kind of to G's point about their proclivity to trap, you know, some of these ball handlers. In the last couple games, that's one of the adjustments that they've made, right? They're not the big, whether it's Bam or Nemanja. He was doing it really well. They're not showing flatly anymore. Instead, they're coming out and him and the guard are pushing the ball handler back, and you know Dame small, and so like you said, you know they're not trying to get burned on you know him splitting or whatever. They're trying to create space between him and the basket, and then get the ball out of his hands. And like you said, Alf, now they are doing the things that they weren't recovering, or at least today they're recovering better than we've seen them a little bit.
What one thing I find interesting, The energy defensively, because every time they have a bad defensive effort, we always hear it's effort, it's energy. And it looked like it tonight. Tonight they just had – they were getting back tonight. We talked so much about the rebounding, especially after that first quarter. It just felt like they were getting crushed. A few numbers that just popped out to me. The Blazers had 8 offensive rebounds for the game. I feel like they had 10 in that first quarter. But for the game, they had 8. The Heat had 6. So it wasn't like this huge, huge discrepancy. Yeah. The Heat only had 7 turnovers. The Blazers had 17, right? So we felt like they were getting crushed on the boards and all this. The Heat actually shot 6 more field goals than the Blazers did tonight. And I feel like how many games have we watched where the Heat have like 8, 9, 10 less field goal attempts for a game than the other team because they are consistently getting out hustled. So I just feel like tonight they kind of just put all of it together for once, offensively and defensively. And it feels like I said, it feels like one of the most complete games of the season. I mean, an 18-point fourth quarter, I think that was a team coasting, just trying to finish out a game. I would have loved to see a game where Jimmy didn't have to play the last 5 minutes. But, you know, for the most part, I just thought they really dominated tonight. And Siobhan, I know you got some plays you want to get to.
Yeah.
Someone said, Alf, you got to frame your jerseys before you throw them on the wall. I'm not framing these old ass faded jerseys. I'm just.
Is that the Strahan jersey? The legendary.
Strahan jersey won two Miami Heat championships. We'll discuss that at a later date.
So real quick before we get to spot, I remember Alf was off Twitter for a while because the Heat were like sucking. It was in the middle of a playoff run, and they started winning games when Alf was off.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Twitter, and he just kept sending me pictures of the Strahan jersey. And he would just go, Strahan jersey.
It was a sacrifice I made. It was like when LeBron... fake goes zero dark 30 on which is so weird. It's like when you know he co-ops the murder of a fucking terrorist. LeBron's a weird guy. But so I would just like I there was a stretch. I was like, I'm going off the Twitter, and I was off of Twitter, and they just started winning. So I would just text G straight in, and just, you know, and then go
and
away
and dark liquor.
Dark liquor. It was nice. Crown Royal and straight in
zero dark liquor.
Yeah. Exactly.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
All right, go ahead, Siobhan.
Oh, hold up. Let me break it down. So it can forever and consistently be broke.
That's one of my favorite blocks.
Damn, that was awesome.
Thanks. Okay. So, pause, Brass. Take it from the top if you can. So I just have four. First three are offense. Last one's defense. Go ahead. So cut through. We have our stagger on the side. Pause. So CJ, you know, jumped the top side of the screen, not letting Duncan come off of it. So he kind of, you know, pushed his way under. Still got to the area he wanted to go. Keep going. And so we're not getting anything. Duncan's going to cycle through. I think Trevor clears out eventually. And so pause. Bam is getting the ball out here. It's like 4.6 seconds left. I think we have, or I know I personally a lot of times want to see him do, you know, some different things when he has face up positions. But we also have to contend with the fact that a lot of times he's getting the balls in these types of situations. So go ahead, Brass. I think he gives us, you know, a step back or a foul or something, but, you know, not optimal offense. But that was a play early on. Go ahead, let's get into the next one. I like this because I like players that make adjustments. I like people that pay attention, pause, and understand when, you know, their lineup switches, when one of their teammates goes out, and, you know, when a different one comes in, and how their game is different than the person they just subbed for, right? So go ahead. We have some action between Jimmy and Precious here. And then pause. We have this Precious Goron action. And this is the same type of action he'll run with Bam. This is the same type of action we've seen him try to run with Precious. Precious is small, though. He's smaller than Bam, and Bam is small. And so a lot of times he'll go for this lob, and, you know, it'll get broken off. That's not what he does here. Go ahead. He gets up, finds some space, and, you know, has a little dump off. That was little, but stuff like that matters. Stuff like that leads to less wasted possessions, more, you know, shot attempts at the basket.
Siobhan, I just want to say I love that play there, because when you have Cantor on the floor and he's killing you on the offensive glass,
yep,
like, you have to punish him on the other end. And you, yep, saw what happened when you put him in the pick and roll. Like, he's a deer in the headlights. He doesn't have the lateral movement. He's not a good defender, and they picked him apart a lot of times. So it kind of mitigated his effect on the offensive end.
Yeah, you're fine. That's what you have to do. You have to go downhill at that, or he's beating you by just being there when he shouldn't be. Go ahead, go to the next one, Brass. Here, okay. Oh, okay. Start this one over. I remember why this bothered me. So, pause. So, Precious is setting up like he's about to go set. I think this is Duncan. Yeah, Duncan just passed to Jimmy. He's going to clear through. Precious is setting up like he's about to set the screen for Jimmy. Instead, he fakes to come and set the screen around the free throw line area for Tyler. Now, I don't know if this was a design play. Sometimes things are just, you know, their reads, their audibles in game situations. I don't know if this was or wasn't. My issue here is the timing. Go ahead, Brass. Pause. So, I don't know that Tyler knew that Precious was coming to set that screen for him, because he wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared. He hadn't done the work to set his dude up ahead of time. So Precious is just sitting there. Now Tyler's trying to finagle to, you know, find some room to run Precious off us when that timing should have already been there. Go ahead. Then Precious comes back. He flips it and then tries to set for Jimmy. They don't make good contact. Jimmy doesn't really wait, but it's okay because, you know, Jim's a dog. But just, you know, some stuff that we got to work on as we're still, you know, trying to incorporate guys. And then last one is defense. I don't know if they intended for this to be that little matchup zone that they like to do, but it ends up shaping itself that way. Go ahead. They're kind of matched up, kind of not. Pause. So at this point, Tyler tells Kendrick to take this person, and that is where he should be. Tyler is fucking up the rotation because the guards up top are matched. Either, I don't know how they like to play it. Either have Iggy sit on top of this player at the free throw line, but it can't be because Iggy has this guy up top. Tyler needs to be concerned with what Bam has down here so that Bam can be concerned with what Nurk is doing. Go ahead, roll it. Boom. Tyler's kind of in no space, you know, no man's land. And, you know, luckily, you know, big things fall hard when they're off balance. But I think they did a lot of things well tonight. Really, I really do.
For him there. Because that's different. That's a different zone than what they ran last year.
Yeah, they messed that up, I think, because they matched up wrong initially. Yeah. But at the point that they committed to the matchup, they got to rotate. But they did a lot really well. Their zone
numbers are horrible this year. Like, their zone is getting, like, absolutely shredded for the most part. And I think part of it's, like, from what you just pointed out. Like, they're just, like, totally not organized and they don't know where to be.
Yeah.
Is it just not organized, or teams have scouted it so well?
No, because they're doing it different. Like, I think you saw there, like, they're just not, like, in the right positions. And, like, they used to put the bigs and the wings up top and the guards in the back. And they would have, like, fly around for help. And then now they're playing it kind of inverted. But it's, like, you know.
Yes, and then so inverting it, you have to match it up. You have to match up from the beginning. Or once you start the rotations, it's going to be rotating from the wrong side and, like, be off. But I think some of it is scouting. But they do, like, a lot of different, like, complex kind of defensive things that I think, you know, maybe they just got fucked up there.
They don't got to, like, use it as much either because, like, they're just going to – like, the zone was just a crutch because they couldn't guard guards. Now they just say, well, fuck it, we're going to trap and switch, right? So, like, the zone was a big product of earlier in the season, even before they got Jay and Iguodala. They're like, okay, well, we play Myers and drop, and they have Kendrick Nunn and Goran. We have Kendrick Nunn and Goran, and that action is getting shredded. They remember, they couldn't guard a soul in the beginning of last season. So the counter was, okay, well, when we have these guys on the floor, we have to play zone. And what we're going to do is the only good thing that Myers does is he's tall and has long arms. We're going to put him at the top of the zone, and we're going to put Derek or whoever, and then our guards are going to be in the back. So if they break that initial line, then our guards come help, but that's, like, unlikely. And it was a very active and aggressive zone. Now there's not as much of a need because they can switch and because they trap anyway, because they weren't really doing that last year. So they just don't do it a lot. And, like, if you don't do it a lot, you just, you know, you get rusty.
I are you done? That was, like, such a long, drawn out, like, and am I wrong? Am I the only one? Fuck with you, Jay. I was like, but no, I was literally listening to you, like.
Listen, I don't blame you.
But no, but we now fuck with you.
You want to know what a hockey assist is next?
No, No.
Okay, so we did say we were going to take questions. So here's the first question, because District Inferno really keeps harping on this, and I don't understand why he would think this is a good question. When's the Al vs. Siobhan one-on-one charity event? That shit would be, we could go to 50 and it would be over in about 8 minutes. Like, you guys don't understand. Siobhan is a world-class athlete, basketball player. I seldom, you know.
You're a 40-year-old old man.
Yeah, I'm 40 years old. When I was Siobhan's age, she would have whooped my ass 55 to 4. Now, I wouldn't even, you know, I'm saying, I wouldn't get a shot off. So, no, that is not going to happen. And someone said Alf and G versus Tiff and Siobhan. Holy
that's a massive.
That'd be a good one. That'd be a good one.
For who?
For the audience.
Oh my god. We should do that. I want to go out there. I'm gonna dress like I don't know if you guys ever watched the episode of Martin when it was the when Martin versus the USA basketball team, the women's team, and they had Eric Gordon and he had like striped socks up to his knees. I'm gonna dress like that and I'm gonna play Siobhan. I'm gonna try and I'm gonna see if I can score on her one time. And I probably won't.
That's right.
Wait, what was that last question?
That was harsh.
It was harsh.
I don't like that.
Is there a way that we can vote Gianni off the rest of these late nights?
These West Coast games, he beats like the Heat. Like, we need bodies, man. G stepped up.
I'm here. I'm tired, by the way. I'm like dead. I woke up. I've been hungover all day, and I'm here. Listen, I'm not doing that.
Thank you, G. Listen, I was fucking with you. That was a long, drawn out fucking answer about zone. Holy shit. I was like,
zoned out.
It was still better.
Siobhan played D1 basketball. She would destroy Alf. That is correct.
Hey. So
we got our ass kicked by that lady at Channel, what is it, Channel 10?
Oh, yeah.
This magic that Brass is
kicked our ass. She That's posted great. Me up and she elbowed me in like the shoulder and I like almost fell over. I was like, God damn. And that was when I was like in shape. I was like working out every day.
Yeah, all right, question. Does a nun resurgent being generous here seriously give Miami leverage this offseason with Oladipo? No.
Hell no.
I don't know if anyone else has it. It doesn't.
Nun's resurgence. Vic's injury history.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's all about Vic. It has nothing to do with what Nun can do. Or...
I bet you they don't keep Nun. I bet you that Nun can play great, and I bet you they don't keep him.
Yeah, I don't see them keeping Nun either. But I guess it all depends on how things shake out. We had another question.
I just don't worth what you get him back.
This wasn't Wait, G plays sports. He plays a lot of volleyball.
I'm a good volleyball player. I'm like an okay soccer player.
We can play volleyball, G.
Oh, I love it. I'm down. Whenever you're in town, let's go.
Love it.
Okay.
My jump serve with topspin?
I'm not a good jump server. Not a good jump server.
I hit the ball really hard. I'm legit really proud of how good my jump serves are. I grinded the fuck out of that one year. Every day I was like working and I hit the ball really hard. And I can do a floater. I can hit with topspin. I can play in or outside. Oh my God, inside, I kill it.
So this next question is, Joey, why so smoky in your garage? And for that answer, we are going to go to the Joey House Hour 2-minute comedy hour. Let's go.
Why is it so smoky in my garage? That's because my mom's in her car. we lost a cornerstone of the hip hop community. That's right. Prince Philip passed away 7 years ago. But he's been keeping up appearances with the help of some type of marionette apparatus. That's what John Crotty would like to call a Weekend at Bernie's situation. I could be wrong, but I think I heard that Prince Philip was basically the DMX of the royal family, whatever that means. But seriously, was anyone surprised by his passing? I mean, the last pictures I saw of him, he looked like one of the guys at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like if paper mache was a person, that's what Prince Philip would be. You know, what a delicate skin type he has. But enough about old dead white guys. In other news, former Heat big man and current anti-Semite, Myers Leonard, will be holding a Zoom conversation with the Hillel chapter of the University of Miami. Now, I don't even know how that could go for him. I don't know what he could say. I've thought maybe he can go, I know most of you guys here are pretty angry at me, but not as angry as being sniped from being from a respawn, bro. You ever been that mad? You ever have the red circle of death on your Xbox? You know, it's not all bad news with Myers Leonard. I did hear that him and Deshaun Jackson are working on a remake of a Will Ferrell film. Look for Goose Step Brothers out this summer. Thank you. That's it.
Oh my God, yes, Joey.
I was so afraid of the DMX stuff at the beginning.
Oh, I was like, so no. scared. I just, I looked like, that
holy
out.
Holy shit.
Very sad.
Good job. You like to live on edge here.
Yeah.
Heapied, always at the edge.
Prince Philip was a rotting corpse already.
Well, yeah. You see what that old racism does something. It ages you. Like, they said he was 99. He was really 48.
That blue in the blood just starts to seep closer and closer to the surface of the skin. Motherfuckers start turning purple. Like,
yeah,
and there's a lot of incest. There's a lot of incest there.
I saw somebody tweet out that, like, you know, we're all making jokes about, you know, Prince Philip, but, you know, the royal necromancist lost his job that day.
I love the rumors like, oh, he just had the vaccine and that's what killed him.
Oh, fuck out
of here. I'm like, bro, that vaccine probably kept him alive for 2 more days. Like, right?
The polio vaccine from 100 years ago.
Oh, man. Like, come on, bro. Somebody breathed on that motherfucker too hard and he died. That motherfucker was near death for like the last 15 years. Yeah, I did not know that was the queen's husband because I don't even understand how this shit works.
That was the queen, right?
Yeah, you can't look that old and be called prince. It's weird.
Yeah, so it's like, wait, it's a little boy's title. Come on, man. Like, then
her husband and cousin in one fell swoop.
Yeah,
rough day.
Two for one. Like, what the?
Why are you married to the queen and not a king? I don't understand that whole royal family and why they exist in the first place.
Colonialism.
Yeah, whatever. Just vestiges of old racism.
That was a funny day on Twitter. That was like that. That was like one of the funniest days on Twitter in a while.
He died because they went over a bump in the car. Yes,
that was it.
Fucking Jeez. Weird.
Who did that?
What is some it's somebody?
Javon, you? Yes. Holy shit.
Bitch had a heart attack from a pothole. anyway, it really does. So who do the Heat play next?
Phoenix. They play Phoenix.
Oh my Can't god, that's wait. An L.
Come for that.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not necessarily. It got L potential. It has hella L potential. Let me tell you.
I'm just like Boston went into Denver tonight.
Yeah.
And beat the brakes off of them.
That game was weird, bro. That game was weird. Jokic was just like weird. I'm not giving Boston credit for that. I watched that game. I'm not giving the Celtics a fucking ounce of credit.
All right, so I have a question for you guys as we kind of we draw this night to a close. We're already at almost 50 minutes. We like to try to keep it around 40. It's fucking 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. It's my birthday, so fuck y'all. We partying. Do you guys, as long as they're not in the play-in, in the play-in situation word to karate, do you guys care what seed they are? Like, are you trying to avoid anybody?
So personally, I would like not to see Philadelphia. The rest of them, I don't care about. That's just me.
And I personally, I do not feel good about the play-in game.
If we avoid the plan,
avoid that, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think we can match up against just about anybody, but does the playing game, is that just a one-off?
Yo, if you're the higher seed, you only have to win one, and if you're the lower seed, you have to win twice. So, like, if the Heat are in a play-in with the Knicks, right, and the Heat are above the Knicks in the standings, the Knicks have to win two games, and the Heat only have to win one game, and then they go into the playoffs.
I just want that week off while they play the play-in game.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, because
huge.
They're right now. They're in fifth, and like I want them fourth. I want them to stay around that fourth, fifth seed. Charlotte's gonna go into it. I mean, they can only withstand so much. Yeah, I mean, but they lost to Atlanta tonight. I mean, how much can they withstand? That Gordon Hayward's out for how long?
Like 4 weeks.
4 weeks. It's LaMelo's out for the.
It's still out. Yeah.
LaMelo's out for the season. Maybe like. I feel like they're going to go into a free fall like the Knicks.
Boston's coming, man. They've put together a nice stretch here.
Yeah, nobody's afraid of Boston.
I'm not.
Are they really? They're seventh right now? I haven't looked at this.
They're like, they're
basically tied a little bit higher.
The Knicks, yeah. That's what I'm looking at.
I do disagree with Siobhan. Like, the Phillies, like, out of the four teams up top, Philly's the team I would most want to play. In the first round series, but in the second round series, I think you're making faces.
I thought that's what the question was, like avoiding in the first round.
No, yeah, I'm saying,
is there anybody outside of Brooklyn? There's nobody in the East that I would honestly. I want to avoid a team like Atlanta, or just because I don't want to lose to them in the first round.
Yeah. I'd want to avoid the Bucks. I'd want to avoid the Bucks, and I'd want to avoid the
I'd rather lose to the Bucks in the first round than lose to Atlanta. Like,
oh yeah, no, for sure.
I want the tougher first round matchup, just so. Oh well, we lost to the eventual Eastern Conference champions.
I mean, when I think of seeding, I don't think of the first round. I think that like as long as the Heat, I think they're gonna end up four or five. So like that doesn't really matter. If they end up six, like that's fucking danger time. Like you want to get into that four. You don't want to play those top three teams. But I think getting into four is important because Brooklyn's having their injury problems right now, and I don't think they're going to finish one. I think Philly is probably going to finish with the one seed, and that's the second round matchup I want if I'm the Heat.
I think the
I'm not mad at them in the second round.
Literally, if you can stay out of seven or eight, to me, you're in good shape because I think they could beat the Sixers, and then if it's the Hawks, the Celtics, or the Hornets in the first round. I mean, it's Spo. The thing is, I believe in Spo, and he can scheme the fuck out of those teams. And like, and Jimmy's just not going to lose to the Hawks. Like, he's not going to lose to Trae Young.
Yeah.
Like, he'll kill him first. Like, he'll just beat the shit out of him in the middle of a game. Like, third quarter, just kick him in the neck.
like if that's your first round opponent, like I think it might be annoying because they may like lose a game in a way that'll piss you off.
Yeah. But
when those teams that have bad defenses, when you have the coaching advantage, it's over. Lights out.
So I did misspeak. We do have something else that we want to get to before we get out of here. We have the very popular segment, Miami Heat Movie. We have two new additions tonight.
Woo.
And they're a little bit more obscure, which is I'm glad we're doing it at like 1:15 on a Sunday.
Hey, viewership's held strong, by the way. Shout out to chat.
Yeah. Shout out to Cardi. I say Cardi Liana's name. I always fuck it up.
I don't know who I thought you were about to say.
This is a lot of pressure.
Say Carletiana. Carletiana.
Carletiana.
Carletiana. Okay. Shout out to Carletiana. You're here every single night. Yeah. We appreciate the fuck out of you. There's a lot of y'all that are here every single night, but I don't think I've shouted her out because I'm so afraid to say her fucking name. but thank you, Carletiana.
And no, Carletiana, we are not doing the whole roll call tonight because it's late as fuck.
Oh, come on.
No.
She's
not going to do it. We're just going to
be such a Heat fan. I've met her several times, and I really always love chatting. Like she's been a lifer, fan of the team for like a long time. So we love that.
Thanks.
Yes, we love you.
Thank you so much for your support.
I can't wait till we have fucking watch parties again, man.
Yeah.
Oh, to meet all you motherfuckers, all these people in the chat, like who live in South Florida.
I just miss you, Alf. I want to hang out with you.
Yeah, I haven't seen
fucking
It'll
be a fucking party.
Monica.
Monica, we're going to Duffy's, North Miami Beach. Bring your friends.
Do it, Alf.
Monica. Oh.
Monica, I got a
clip. No.
Why am I so?
You're right there.
There we are.
Yes.
Monica, come make some money, girl.
It's my birthday.
It's my birthday, girl. You out here. I got illicit drugs in the background.
Double-digit win.
Tip with the chips, you assholes. Monica.
All right, let's. So here are our new additions tonight. We had
Duffy still does 2-for-1 drinks, by the way. So, oh man, I can't wait till we get back. Oh, it's gonna be fucking. Get your vaccines, you motherfuckers. Let's go. Shit. I'm ready to get drunk with Heat fans again.
Herd immunity up, this bitch.
Yeah, let's go.
Vaccines with herd immunity. There we go. Let's go. Okay, so for tonight we have three new additions. Actually,
Monica.
So this one was suggested to us by the Miami Heat Mind. We have I think I'm pronouncing this correctly. Charlie Hunnam as Birdman.
Ooh.
That's good.
Who's
I mean,
that?
I think it's a little bit like, well, we got a beard. So
who is that? Is he from like Sons of Anarchy?
Sons of Anarchy.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Forged in Fire or some shit.
Yeah, so I don't know. All those I don't watch. I have never seen Sons of Anarchy. I have no idea. This one I thought this one would be fun. For Dion Waiters, we have Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
Which I'm all about that, man.
For sure.
I'm feeling cheese. Gonna get some snacks.
And this one
we're gonna go to Toronto. I'm gonna get somebody pregnant.
That was Butter had this idea. We actually have our first Heat media member for Ira Winderman. We have Gilbert Gottfried.
That one was so good. That shit was so good. Love you, Ira.
So that's our late night edition to the Miami Heat Movie. Send us your suggestions at hashtag.
I want to see Miami Tracy Morgan movie. Again. They call me Kobe Wade. I'm out here. I got Kobe's handles and Wade jump shot. You can't stop me.
It's the extra stuffing in the vocal cords.
I'm about to get somebody pregnant.